This Do Lectures episode features co-founder of the high-tech underwear solution for women, Thinks, Mickey R. Growell, recorded live at the global event in California, USA in 2016.
Thank you, guys. I feel like at home here. Can I just say that right off the bat? I feel so at home here. And my girls, oh, I've met some girls. They're gonna be girlfriends for life, truly. Okay, so I'm gonna start with this crazy story. So about 6 weeks ago, I went on this amazing retreat with a group of friends, 30 friends. We went to this place called Shakespeare on Hudson. And it was about an hour and a half outside of New York City. And we get into this room, and we were told that this ethnomusicologist named Alexandre Tenus is going to lead us in an 8 hour long sound healing meditation. I was like, 8 hour long? Sound healing meditation? What? And it was the most, honestly, the most transformational experience of my life. Gongs and bowls and chimes and like bells and like you name it. We were all blindfolded, we were laid down, and he just led us on this journey. It was like nothing I'd ever experienced before. And what I tapped into, and it's so funny because I think about Ram Dass and how it took him 20 years to be here now, you know what I mean, at like Esalen. And I was like, it took me one night kind of thing. And it's that, holy shit, we're alive. No, but like, guys, seriously, let's let that sink in for a second. Like, what it took for each one of us to be here, right now, is nothing short of a miracle. Right? Right? Can we all just express how excited we are to be alive right now? Woohoo! Yeah! Yeah! Like, that's what it was like. It was 8 hours of that, of just like, holy shit, we're alive. So on that note, I kind of started looking at just what it means to be alive. And I realized that from the point you graduate college to the point you die, you have 21,000 days to live. 21,000 days, that's it. So I was like, whoa, what am I gonna do with these 21,000 days? Not that I just graduated from college or whatever, but maybe I'll live till, you know, longer. So will I just while away my time on Facebook, on Snapchat, just checking likes? Will I talk shit about others? Will I complain? Or will I choose to be lit up? Someone talked about, I think it was Jed, or someone talked about just being, like, have the light shine in your eyes and how important that is to just be, exist in that way. And so, like, what do I want to do? What is going to light me up for the rest of my life? And at the same time, maybe while I'm here for that 21,000 short days, maybe I can impact the world in a positive way. Why not? Right? And I truly, truly believe that each one of us can. Each one of us has the power. It doesn't matter, like, my father came to this country with $5 in his pocket from India, and my mother came here from Japan, barely speaking a lick of English, and in one generation put 3 children through Ivy League schools and built the American dream for us. Each one of us can, for sure. Did you guys know that the closest thing to achieving bliss, a state of bliss, is helping another human? It actually says that the same dopamine that comes out of your brain that is equivalent to the orgasm is the same as when you help somebody out. So, you know, as I was blubbering into Veronica's speech, I was like, oh my God, she gets the dopamine flowing all the time. So, the question is, where do I fit in? What do I want to do while I'm here for my short 21,000 last days? So I chose to focus on girls and women. And I know a lot of girls here are focusing on that. I love how it's just a power circle of strong women. And I truly believe that there is not a leveled playing field for women and men on this planet. Here, maybe in this room, there might be. But outside of this room, it's very not that way. Very not that way. Very not. So specifically, I want to really think about the concept of shame and eliminate shame from conversations that women have, especially things like the period, a woman's period. Can I get a show of hands of how many women are we have in the room? High, way up. How many women do you have in the room? Okay, keep your hands way up. If you proudly have or had a period, say woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah. Holy shit, ladies, we can create life. We can procreate. We can perpetuate humanity. I mean, let's think about that, what that means. As women, we have all the power in our wombs. All the power to perpetuate humanity right here. So we can absolutely choose to say no to assholes and no to people who don't lift us up and don't treat us with complete respect, right? Because it's all right here. Without that, there would be no tomorrow. So we really have to, like, let that shit sink in. Like, power, women, right here. So I want to start a company that specifically spoke to women. And so I started a company called Thinks. And it really started out by a simple problem. Every single month when I had my period, it was like my first time getting my period. It was like, oh, Jesus, like, oh my, you know? And like, I feel like every single month, it was like I was putting the sweater on. I was like that girl with a sweater on my waist perpetually every month. It's just like, oh, there she's on her period, sweater on the waist, you know? Like, that was me. And it was like surprising every single time. And it was just like, there has got to be a better way. And so the first goal was, let's just make periods easier to experience. Pretty simple goal-ish, right? So then I did some research in the feminine hygiene category and discovered that's a $15 billion category. $15 billion. And this category has only had three major innovations in the entire 20th century. In 1931, the tampon was invented by a man. Oh, yeah. In 1969, they put the adhesive strip underneath a pad, scotch tape underneath a pad, to prevent it from moving around. Before that, women had to use menstrual belts, clips, and pins to hold the pad in place, ask her grandparents, etc. Scotch tape innovation. Cool. 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 And then in the late 1980s was sort of the popularization of the menstrual cup, but still not everyone is that into it. So really it's tampons and pads. So 1969, the last real major innovation. Also, it was so important at the time to understand existing issues that women are facing. Women just blindly follow a doctor, put an IUD in, take the pill, you'll be fine, no period, great, no mess, you know? And don't quite understand what the repercussions on each one of our bodies are. So it's so important to know what our bodies are made of and how it works really intricately, because a doctor might prescribe the same thing to you as so many other women and might not know exactly what you need specifically. One thing that I just want to kind of express, and all the guys who are like, what is happening right now? Why are they talking about periods? What's happening? And this is a room full of evolved men, so that's cool too. But I will just say that you are all here, men, because of it. So you're welcome. Thank a girl on your way out. So in the context of understanding existing issues, did you guys know that as a woman on your medium and light days, you know when you're like kind of have to put a tampon in, when you pull it out, it's a little dry, you know what I'm talking about? That causes microabrasions inside your body. It's not good for your vaginal walls are so sensitive. Right, ladies? So take care of it. I actually taught Jed like how a period works. He's like, okay, you gotta explain to me, because he's what you call a gold star gay. Never seen a vagina, never, you know, never touched one. So I'm like, all right, sweetheart.
I'm a platinum gay, which means I was a C-section.
Oh, whoa! Whoa, I just learned a new term. Wow, okay. Well then, I feel really good that I taught Jed about the period. In fact, our 13-minute short film was a big part of it was sort of, the storyline was brought to you by the brainchild of both of us mashing together, so grateful for that. So another thing I want to think about when creating this new feminine hygiene product that hasn't had any changes in 50 years is that I want to make sure it considered form and function. Because if something looks pretty but doesn't work, then what's the point? Or something works but looks like a diaper or granny panties or plastic or gross, then what's the point also? So there had to be that incredible marriage of form and function. So my twin sister and my partner and I, the three of us together, spent the next 3.5 years developing the first real period-proof underwear. And the idea quickly came from when my twin sister and I were at my family barbecue called Agrapalooza. My last name is Agrawal. And it was our, like, our 15th annual Agrapalooza. And my twin sister and I were defending our three-legged race championship title. And when you're a twin, it's kind of like cheating, you know what I'm saying? You're like the same person running, and you're like, people are like, this is not fair. We're like, hey, we didn't make the rules. We're just, like, you know. So in the middle of the race, the finals, Radha started her period. And so we had to finish the race, still in first place, because we're competitive, and sprint, still tied to each other, up the stairs to the bathroom so she can change out her bathing suit bottoms. And as the blood was coming out of the bathing suit bottoms, was when like that like slow motion, like aha moment hit. Oh my God, wouldn't it be amazing if we could create a pair of underwear that never leaked, that never stained, and that supported women every day of the month? That was cool. So that was the first like big aha moment. And then fast forward, so I basically in 2005 when we had the idea, we had to table it because I just opened my restaurants. I own three restaurants in New York. They're all gluten-free, farm-to-table pizza restaurants, a whole story for another day. And so I was working in my restaurants, like slaving away till 2 o'clock in the morning like a crazy person. And cut to 2010, when I traveled to South Africa for the World Cup, and it was my first soccer, and I played soccer my whole life, played for the New York Magic for 2 seasons, like I'm a soccer obsessed person. And until 3 ACL reconstructions later, but anyway, also a story from another day. While I was in South Africa for the World Cup, was when I discovered the huge issue that girls are facing in the developing world. I discovered that over 100 million girls are missing a week of school. And millions of those girls are dropping out of school because of something as natural as their periods. So, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about that in a sec. But so, 3.5 years, almost 4 years of like hard labor went into making this product. It was so hard because we would call and call and call different people. We would say like, hey, antimicrobial technology person, like, do you have, you know, like, a technology for women's underwear? It's like, click, you know? And so we'd have to do that over and over and over again until we finally cobbled together the right fabrics and developed the first product. And so the product, it had to do multiple things. It had to be moisture wicking, so when you bleed into them, you can't feel wet. You don't feel like you're sitting in blood or anything, You don't feel wet. It has to be antimicrobial, you don't want germs. I know when I'm on my period, I'm like a world-class cleaner. I'm like cleaning the corners because you're like nesting, ladies. And so I'm just like, I don't want to, you know, it has to be antimicrobial. It has to be absorbent. It has to absorb at least 2 full tampons worth of blood because we didn't want to like have to change the underwear in the middle of the day. We wanted to be able to last, for the most part, a full day. And it had to be leak-proof, but also breathable because you don't want to get any yeasties. You know what I'm talking about? So, And it had to be like enveloped in the most beautiful, sexy, gorgeous underwear that literally looks and feels like a regular pair of underwear. Because again, if it feels granny panties, if it feels gross, if it feels whatever, then like, what's the point? No one's gonna wear it, right? So that was the magic that I think people didn't get. Like people have tried to make this stuff, but it just never hit because we're like, I would never wear that. So that's what happened in, so we basically launched in 2014 and then had our official launch in May of 2015. So the question was, why has there not been any change for so long? Like, why? What is the deal with this whole period thing that creates human life, that whole thing? The answer is because it's taboo. Shout out quickly, when you think of the word taboo, what does it make you think of? Bad.
Secret.
Shame. Wrong. What? Unmentionable, yes. Did you guys know the word taboo stems from the Polynesian root word tapwa? Do you guys know what tapwa means? Menstruation.
What?
When I found that out, I was like facing, and I was like, the most uncomfortable thing you can possibly talk about is again the thing that creates human life. No. Also, when you look at religious scriptures, the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, they all talk about how when you're on your period, you're impure. You will be defiled if you touch a woman on her period. You have to take a ritual bath after you're done on your period. You have all these ritual these religious scriptures that tell you that periods are bad. That has to change. Superstitions, OMG superstitions. Like, for example, in Nepal, They say that you have to sleep in a cow shed on your period, because if you don't, then the snakes will come in and eat your father. Not kidding, this is happening right this second. Like, in India, you can't go in the kitchen and cook, you can't touch your husbands, you can't sleep in your bedrooms, you can't go to temple, you can't go out and play. I mean, our girl, where is she? Sorry? Rhoda. My sister's name is Rhoda, so I should. Rhoda, where are you? Where's Rhoda? Rhoda, love you, Rhoda. Rhoda was talking, can I share? 2 seconds. Okay, Rhoda was talking about how she couldn't go out and play because her mom's from Somalia, and she was like, no, when you're on your period, you stay inside. You're dirty. You can't go out and play. So she actually came up with a really good idea to escape that, but that's her story, which is great, as per usual. She's just prolific. So superstitions. Did you guys know the Nepal earthquake that just happened last year, and that took one of my best friends' life? He was climbing Mount Everest, and he was hit by a boulder during the earthquake. That earthquake was blamed on menstruating women by Nepali men. Like, this just happened. So there's a real problem. And in the developing world, whoa. We talked about 100 million girls missing a week of school, millions of those girls dropping out of school. Huge, huge, huge ramifications. I'm gonna tell you a quick study, and I know some girl effect people here, and just quickly explain the importance of having productive women in the developing world. So I'm to give you $100 in a developing community, man. I'm to give you a woman $100 in the same developing community. 90 of the woman's $100 will go back into her family in the community. Guess how many of the guys' $100 will go back in the family community? Shout out some answers. Guys are like, nothing negative! Like 20 to 35. Let's give them a little credit. Just a little, though. So who is more likely to elevate the community out of extreme poverty faster? Women. Quite obvious, basic math, right? And so what we're saying is that if millions of girls are dropping out of school because of something as natural as their periods, that's billions of dollars of lost income potential that these communities as a whole can be receiving to elevate themselves out of extreme poverty. Does that make sense? It's just like, seems obvious, but it's just not computing because it's taboo. You can't talk about it. So, based on that realization, understanding, we scoured planet Earth to find the best organizations that were doing something about it in the developing world. And we found this amazing organization called AfriPads, based in Uganda, and they make washable, reusable cloth pads at an affordable price. And so what we said, we were super inspired by the Tom's Shoes model, the one-for-one model. We knew there were some flaws in it. We're not dogging them. They came up with that incredible one-for-one philosophy, which so many people are now doing. And now it's about taking that philosophy and elevating it. So here's the issue with that problem. So you, what's your name?
Debbie.
Debbie owns a shoe company in Uganda. All day long, blistering heat, just selling shoes and selling shoes and selling shoes. All of a sudden, a bunch of free shoes appear in her town. What happens to her business? Right? So that's not an empowerment model, it's a welfare model. Again, they didn't quite think through all the things, and now they're adjusting it, so it's great. So it's on us to take that and learn and just elevate it. And there's so much haters, people like, just like, they did it and they're gonna fix it. Like, just stop hating. Like, ugh. It's like, what did you do? You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like this fucking side people. You're just like, are you in the ring, my friend? So AfriPads is a company, for-profit company that sells washable, reusable cloth pads. So for every pair of underwear sold that supports women here, we give money to AfriPads, which then they can take to subsidize the cost of the pads, and then they sell them to the girl at an affordable price, at a much cheaper price, so every girl can afford it. She's paying for it, she's taking care of it. AfriPads is making their margin because they're charging for it, and it creates an empowerment model. So now when we started working with AfriPads, they had 25 employees, now they have 175 employees, all local women who are off the street. So it's working. And one of the exciting things about that is that we've now outgrown AfriPads. And what's so cool is that we're launching now our Thinks Global Girls Clubs. One of the things that we kept hearing over and over and over again is that girls are unsafe. When they hit puberty, they're walking to school, they're at risk of getting raped, they're at risk of getting aggressed on, they're at risk of getting taunted. There's no bathrooms for girls, it's just a problem. And so oftentimes the fathers and mothers, like, you stay home, you can't go to school just for that, just becoming a woman. And it's just not, and by the way, girls, when they're on their, just having to pee and poop, they have to hold their urine and poop in for the whole day during the daytime, go in packs late at night to go and relieve themselves. That's happening right now, millions of people. So what we're doing is we're creating safe spaces for girls to learn about their bodies, get menstrual products at subsidized costs, learn about personal finance, self-defense, and entrepreneurship, and we're gonna like take themselves out of their myopic space and expose these girls to the world, and just by exposing them, their lives will change. So goal number one was just simply solve the problem. Let's just solve the period problem by creating a product that actually works, that women actually want. And then the second goal became, let's break this fucking taboo once and for all. Right? Yeah. So how do you do that? Especially in the first world, forgetting even the developing world, the education that's underway, but here, how do we get people to change their behavior by just bleeding into underwear, which has so much cognitive dissonance? Ew, sounds gross. I would never sit in pool of blood. I would never, you know, like that whole thing over and over and over again. And so we had to think through, how do we get people to change their behavior from using tampons that are not great for you to wearing a pair of underwear that might be a little weird at first, that you haven't done this ever before? So I kind of broke it down to a thesis of three components. Component number one is you have to create an innovative product, obviously. Otherwise, what the fuck are you doing? It has to actually work. It has to look good. It has to be something that people want. It has to be affordable. It has to do all the things. It has to be innovative, number one. Number two, across every single touch point, we have to consider design. The aesthetic is so important to millennials and beyond and everyone. Aesthetic, why are Apple computers just crush the Dells of the world? Because it's an aesthetic, it's a beautiful piece of art. You know, Yves Bihar is one of the best designers, and it's just like looking at the product he makes is just like, oh, you know, that shit matters. And so for us, across every touch point, whether it's a Facebook ad, whether it's a postcard, whether it's obviously our subway campaigns, whether it's any single part, our packaging, our design, our website, every touch point of our brand has to be so considered on a design-wise. I have a team of 36 people, and more than a third of my team are just creatives. Because we're talking about something that's uncomfortable. We're already talking about something people don't want to talk about, so if it's not beautiful and artful and just, then people are going to be like, ugh, you know? And then they can't deny it if they see it and it's beautiful. They're like, all right, that's a pretty good ad. All right, fine, you know? And the third thing, accessible, relatable communication. So often people are like, want to be academic and clinical and medical and just, that's so scary. People just want to know, does it work? Talk to me like I'm a human. Don't talk to me like you're selling me something. Just talk to me authentically. And you know, we'll get to that in a second, but that piece is really important. So when we write all of our marketing, all of our creative, it's as though you're texting your best girlfriend. You read our advertising marketing and it feels so familiar. And that's what you're like talking to yourself. And so and again, our team is filled with people who are our target market. So they literally are talking to themselves. And we chose very carefully who our people are. So how have we done? Iteration is perfection. Favorite saying ever, my team knows that. You know, everything in life is an iterative process, whether it's a relationship, whether it's work, whether it's putting a website out in the 1.0, 2.0. Our 1.0 website sucked ass. And we kept iterating, and then, you know, we have a beautiful website now that converts, and we're continuously, like, you know, testing every single button, every single word in the website. We've now, you know, like on the back end, are testing everywhere the customer's, you know, journey is going, and it's making all the difference. Since we've launched officially May of 2015, we've gone viral 5 times, and you know, some of the things that went viral are, as an example, the MTA scandal. So the MTA scandal was the New York City public transit system. We wanted to do our first subway campaign, which was so exciting for our little company to be able to take over an entire subway station in New York City and do what they call a subway domination. And we were like, whoa, like we're like in the big leagues, like next to Coach Bags, you know, whatever. I mean, they can afford that shit, you know, so we're like, ugh. And so the New York City MTA were like, you cannot advertise your ads in the subway. And we were like, why not? and they're like, your images are suggestive and offensive, would be offensive to writers, and you can't say the word period. And so this was the ad. It was a grapefruit. And it was gorgeous. And one of the questions that they asked, that the Subway people were like, you know, what if a 9-year-old boy sees these ads? And we're like, wouldn't that be great? Maybe he'd be like, mommy, like, whoa. And he'd be like, sweetheart, this is how you came to be. Respect the ladies. So we basically, what's so great about social media is that I said, if you do not approve our ads as is, we went painstakingly through the guidelines, if you do not approve these ads as is, we are going to press. And they're like, sure, kid, go to press. And I was like, cool, yep, got it, we'll do. Meanwhile, I didn't have like a plan at all. And so I was like, oh shit, what if they don't approve ads? And so I basically sent an email to Forbes and to Mike.com, and they both wanted to pick up the story. I'm like, great, you guys both get the exclusive. And they were like, that's not how it works. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you guys both can write about it, same time, go. You know, and they're like, you're an idiot. And I was like, okay, so one of you, okay, cool. So Mike.com officially picked it up, and the story, not only did it go viral in America, it went viral internationally. And the moment for me where I was like, oh shit, this is a thing. You know when you're like in a subway and you see someone like busking their hearts out and like singing and they're getting like thrown like dollars and you're just like, and then all of a sudden you walk out of the subway and maybe you're the musician, you hear someone singing your song and you're like, holy fuck, like, is this real? You know, that was a feeling when I was walking down Bedford Ave in New York City, going to my restaurant actually in Williamsburg. On my way there, I basically ran into this guy, Sham, and his two nieces from India. He's from India, his two nieces from India. They're so hip, cool Indian chicks. And Sham was like, oh, Mickey, what's up? You know, tell my nieces about what you do. And I was like, monkey, you know, dance monkey, okay. No problem, happy to, anytime. And so I basically told them, I was like, this is what I'm doing. And then the two girls were like, wait a minute. And I was like, what? I was like, I mean, what? I'm Indian, I can do that. I'm half Indian, so that's cool. My mother would be like, you're not just Indian, okay? So they both pull out their phones and they go to their each separate WhatsApp like chains with their girlfriends, and they're both talking about things in India. And I literally fought back tears. Like, I was just like, so, how's the, and I was literally just like flabbergasted. That was the first moment for me that I was just like someone just sang a note of my tune, you know? And it was just like, whoa. And another thing that we kept hearing over and over again, our tagline is underwear for women with periods, or for women with periods. And we kept hearing over and over again that the trans community, that women are not the only ones who have their periods. And we're like, huh, what do you mean? And we realized that, oh wow, there are 900,000, you know, people who've transitioned from men to women or women to men, taking that brave step to be who they are, and are being shunned and being, ugh, and they have nothing. And so they were like, we want a product for us. And so they wanted a product that was very masculine. And so we spent the next year working on a boy short. And we changed our tagline for this particular pair from for women with periods to for people with periods. And they were so, like, happy. Another thing was, you know, we always say choose radical authenticity. It's one of our core values at Thinks. And I have 36 diehard feminists on my team. And they all define feminism in their own brushstroke. Like, you know, I remember a shitty article came out about me. It's like, this not so very feminist is launching a feminist brand. And I'm like, oh my God, like I get to define feminism for myself, thank you very much. And so does each one of us. We don't have to put ourselves in this pigeonhole of the way people decide it's, you know, should be. We just define it for ourselves. And so what we put out in the world is so just authentic because our team can't help it. And so when I hire each person on my team, they're so fired up in just who they are. They just, even in an interview, you know, people are like, like, you know, like, hi, my name is, and they're just like, the people I hire are the weirdest people. Like the weirdos who come, like one girl came over and she like came in the interview and she dropped a picture and I picked it up and it was like this 8.5 by 11 black and white picture of Winona Ryder from 1990. And I was like, why do you have a black and white picture of Winona Ryder from 1990 in your purse? And she's like, oh, because like I couldn't find the picture of Dixie Chicks. And I was like, you're hired. You're a weirdo, yes. And so every one of my team is like that. They just cannot, just they're just so themselves. And so what comes out of that is so like root chakra guttural work. You know, we just can't, it's impossible not to be like, what do customers want? It's like, we don't give a shit. If you like it, then great. And if you don't, great. You know, some things will hit, some things won't, but we will just be who we are and just yay. Another thing that we talk about all the time is the concept of fridge-worthy. One of our core values at Thinx is be unbelievably fridge-worthy. And that means is like, so whenever I bring someone into my apartment and you have your fridge, or any of you guys bring something, and your fridge is like pictures of your family, graduation of Duke's daughter, like all the things, right? And then like little notes and cards. Could a piece of advertising be so artful and so beautiful that it can make the small real estate on your fridge? Could it? So that is how we design through that lens. And this postcard is on thousands and thousands of people's fridges. Active listening. What a key component in growing a business. It's so easy to be like, no, I'm right, no, you know, like, and you go your own path and you don't listen to anybody else. Or you can open up your ears. You're absolutely authentic, but you also have to hear the feedback, just like the trans community reminded us of. We put it out in the way we knew how. Active listening is so critical. You think about Seinfeld. You think about, you know, the Ted Dansons. That's for you, guy. You think about the Larry Davids of the world. And why their stuff hits home is because it's like a situation that you've been in. He's listening to what's happening in the world around them. And he's like, oh my God, that's such a funny, like, can you spare a square, not even apply? That's such a funny one, right? Remember the Elaine Bennis thing? And I'm just like, that happens to me all the time, you know? And so using that as an example of marketing and being creative, so many people are like, being creative is so hard. I can't come up with creative ideas. It's just like, just open your ears and just take in these moments, and that is your art, your masterpiece, your artwork. So that's a key. So this egg yolk falling actually came to be when I was like, every time I was ovulating, I can feel my egg drop. Very strange, but it's true, I can. Into my uterus, it happens to some of us. As I feel it dropping, I run into my creative den. I'm like, oh my God, I can feel my egg dropping. And they're like, okay, you're like a total weirdo, but cool. And so that came from that. Just, you know, that moment, that little tiny moment. So fast forward, another big piece of active listening is people kept coming up to us and saying, we don't just use your underwear for period. We also use it for pee, for incontinence. We discovered that 1 in 3 women at some point in their lives will experience what you call light bladder leakage or stress urinary incontinence or incontinence in general. When you give birth, when you have babies, it just happens, we're human. It takes 7 years sometimes for a woman to admit to her doctor that she's incontinent. Meanwhile, 1 in 3 women here have experienced it. Men too. We're focusing on women right now, but we'll get to men soon. So we create a pair of underwear specifically for women who leak. And again, it's not depends. $6.8 billion category and giving me a plastic diaper, are you fucking serious? As we become iconic as we age? No, not okay. And so we developed this beautiful, amazing pair of underwear for women just to make them feel like just who they are. Beautiful, sexy creatures as we age. It's okay, it's great. And for every icon underwear sold, we are funding fistula operations. Right now, over 1 million women in the developing world, especially specifically in Africa, when they give birth, they rip a hole in their bladder and they basically end up peeing themselves forevermore. And they get shunned from their families, disowned by their communities, and put in these fistula camps to die. To die. And so what we're doing is that we're funding fistula operations. And so I'm going to Rwanda in October with doctors, a group of doctors, and we're going to do a ton of operations. And it's going to be incredible to get these women back to their lives. For every period and pee, there's a third P, which is poop. And because I've just been exposed to the wash, the water hygiene sanitation space, menstrual, you know, this whole space, one of the things that just kept, again, coming up every time I gave, you know, talks at UN or whatever, it would be like, you know, sanitation crisis, it's crazy. The global sanitation crisis affects 40% of the world, you know? And hygiene is part of that. Also, in this country, let's be very clear, the way we wipe ourselves hasn't changed since 1890. Toilet paper was brought to America in 1890 and has not changed. We are killing and cutting down 15 million trees per year to make toilet paper for this country alone. The average American uses 57 sheets of toilet paper per day. A single roll of toilet paper requires 37 gallons of water to make one roll of toilet paper. If we consider ourselves environmentalists in this room and understand what we do every single day affects our planet, our beautiful planet. And I grew up, I'm Japanese and Indian, both cultures have bidets. And so what we've developed is a simple bidet attachment that clips onto any standard toilet and turns any toilet into a bidet in less than 10 minutes. No plumbing, no electrical required, and it's like the most game-changing thing you can possibly do for yourself. There are 26 million combined cases of chronic urinary tract infections, yeast infections, and hemorrhoids that can be completely alleviated by simply using water instead of rubbing fecal matter and sitting on that all day. Literally. Not even joking. And just recently, we finally came up with our big, hairy, audacious goal for Tushy. The brand is called Tushy, by the way. Treat your butt like your face. Yeah. So what we're like, imagine if a bird shits on your face. Would you take a piece of paper and smear their shit, or would you wash your face? You'd wash your face. I'm just saying. Okay, so yeah. So I'm gonna calm down for a second. So what we're doing next is actually quite exciting, and I'm gonna go quick. I know it's, you know, my time's up. So basically what we're doing now is, 3 years ago I was diagnosed with this hyperthyroid condition. And the endocrinologist said, you have basically, you know, two options. One, take your thyroid out, or do radioactive iodine therapy and just zap it, and you have to take pills for the rest of your life. And I was like, those are my two options, really? Okay. I didn't do either of them. And I decided to go the route of functional medicine and look and see if there are other things I can do first before doing a drastic thing like taking the hormones out of my body. And so I started seeing like Dr. Mark Hyman, who's the top functional medicine doctor in the world. He's my doctor. And he's like the top. He treats the Clintons. He treats like the friggin', you know, like the Giselles and the whatever, the Tom Brady, whatever, everyone. And I'm like, and then the way he makes you poop to do a poop test to understand your microbiome is by literally pooping inside a plastic bag. He gives you a plastic bag, this little kit, and you open the plastic bag and there's this French fry, like, you know, like this French fry, like boat, like, you know what I'm saying? The French fry boat things, cardboard, and then a popsicle stick. And he's like, now you need to take a shit inside this French fry thing, and then you have to take the popsicle stick and scoop out some of your poop, and then you have to put it inside a test tube, shake it around until all the poop is mixed in, and then you have to send that to a lab, which might take 2-3 weeks. By the time you get there, your microbiome has changed, no question. So by the time you get the results back, who gives a shit? It doesn't even matter. Who gives a shit? Pun intended. And so the question is, is there a way to use Tushy to collect microbiome data in real time? And I finally found the MIT postdoc, PhD in material science and physics, who can actually create this sensor that can capture your microbiome and your fecal matter data in nanoseconds. And on your phone, it'll be like, oh, you know, Lucas, you are deficient in D3 and B12. And by the way, you might be getting, you know, you might be potentially on track for being diabetic, so you might want to change these X, Y things. So now, in real time, you'll be able to understand your body and your biome per person by yourself. Whoa! So to wrap it up, so those are the projects I'm working on. Really, I'm going to be focusing on period pee and poop for like the next, you know, 10 years of my life, God willing, whoever it may be. To think, when I think about what I'm going to jump into, where I'm going to throw my passion and all of myself into projects like these, happen to be, I'm just trying to rebrand the nether regions, which is pretty cool. It's where you like feel orgasm. It's where you like make babies. Like, it's kind of fun, you know, to rebrand that area, right? But I ask myself three questions before jumping in, always. Question number one is always, what sucks in my world? It always has to start with me. It can't start with be like, I wonder what the market's looking for, and let me think what the market wants, and it has to start with you first, because you'll only feel that visceral excitement every day to wake up if it starts with you, if it's a problem that you're facing. So So question number two, does it suck for a lot of people? If you're like a diva and you're like, it only sucks for me, then like, whatever, fuck you. But if it sucks for a lot of people, i.e. 1 in 5 Americans are lactose intolerant, 1 in 5 Americans eat gluten-free, every woman here has, you know, experienced a leak at some point in their lives, don't lie to me, you have a stain, an accident on your period. Every person here, if you don't have a bidet, has a dirty butthole. It's true, it's cool. But that means more customers. So does it suck for a lot of people? Question number three, can I be passionate, truly passionate, about this issue, cause, or community for a really long time? It takes 10 years to be an overnight success, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna be the next Instagram, I'm gonna build this company and sell it and make it for, if that's what your goal is, you're not gonna succeed. If your goal, it has to be so, again, guttural, it has to be so root chakra, it has to be something that you're so upset about, or something that you so desire to have in the world, or something you wanna change so much, and you have to be willing to sit and settle into that discomfort for 10 years. You know, I think about my lovely friend Lauren here, who's been doing what you've been doing for how many years?
8 years.
8 years, you know? And you're seeing that impact grow and grow and grow. It's not an overnight thing. And she has like a celebrity boyfriend too. Husband, sorry. Who's hot. I looked at pictures all last night of the two of them. Whoa. Purpose is your best motivation. What a key thing for me when I think about growing a business. As an entrepreneur, when I'm the dregs of like fulfillment issues, website issues, I just got these hacks who stole $80,000 from me from the website through our referral program. It was like, oh my God. It was like the detective, what's his face, who was like, hey, you're hot. And I was like, you know, that's literally like with the detective. And of course they did jack shit also on top of that. And it was just gross. Anyway, that's story for another story. Sorry. Story for another time. But what keeps me motivated every single day is for every pair of underwear sold, we are helping a girl who needs one. We are changing the conversation around periods. We're breaking this, you know, universal taboo that just needs to end. So that's what keeps me going every single day. And on the other hand, on the other side, purpose builds motivation on the customer side, on the consumer side. Who are you more likely to support, someone with a mission or someone without? Of course, someone with a mission. So on both sides, purpose builds motivation. And when I think about starting businesses or doing anything, you always lead with how can I help you first. You never lead with how can you help me. The number of emails I get from people being like, can I pick your brain? Can I take you out for coffee? Can we meet up? And I'm just like, that is not the right tactic to get people to come and talk to you, ever. So never, ever, ever, ever do that again. Can I pick your brain? Can I take you for coffee? Can I meet you? Can I pick your... Never say that again. Because it's not... Nobody will say yes to that. So you lead with, hey, dear so-and-so, I'm a college graduate from whatever school, and I can connect you to the editor-in-chief of so-and-so's newspaper, and of my newspaper, my college, we have 10,000, you know, like, students, and it'll go out to everybody. Let me make that connection. You make that connection, and then the article gets written about you and your business, and then that person sends you, like, here's a link to the article. By the way, I have 3 questions to ask you. Are you more likely to answer those questions then? Of course, it's human nature want to help back if you help them first. So if you lead with how can I help you first versus how can you help me, watch. Doors will open, swing open wide. It's an incredible transformation. And then, you know, lastly, I believe that you are the average of the 5 closest friends you keep. It's a saying that I've heard time and again, and I believe it. If you're hanging out with people who talk shit or who complain or who just want to watch sports and get fucked up on weekends, that's who you're going to be. You're going to be the average of that. If you're going to be someone who's like driven and excited about what you're doing and hanging out with people who are just so charged and lit up, then that's what you're gonna be, you're gonna be the average of that. That's what we're all here for each other. This is that room. That's so many people are grandfathered in, even if they're like suck as dry. You're like, oh, I have to hang out with aunt whatever. You don't have to. You can be like, I love you, you can just be like, I'm going to hang out with this person. You have to let go because it's their journey, it's yours, and you can't be dragged down. Great people talk about ideas. We know this saying, we love it, it's the greatest. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.